Hey, I'm Bob Rumfield.
And I'm Evan Thunderfolk.
We are with PNP, Patterns Practices, and I'm a dev on the Prism project, as is Erwin. And we wanted to talk to you today about building an application with Prism, or also known as the Composite Application Guidance for WPF and Silverlight.
So the application that we're going to try and build aggregates two of our favorite new services together. We integrated a Dig search engine and a Twitter search engine together, so that with one query we can search both. So if I type in baseball and press search, we get search results from Twitter and Dig.
And what makes this a composite app is that each of these services is composed from different modules, and the views for the Dig and the Twitter results are views that are contributed by each of these modules. And there's a shell to the application that doesn't know exactly what views are going to show up or what views are there, but they know how to respond to the search query.
All right, so to start our application, we actually are going to create a shell project. And the shell is the template. You can think of it as the template for where all the pieces are going to show up, right? It's kind of the top level app. And we're going to create a Silverlight application to do this. So it's going to be a Silverlight application, and I'm going to put it, I'll call it news aggregator. And news aggregator. Actually, I'm going to call it news aggregator.shell because it is the shell portion of the app. And you'll see that we're going to break this down into shell and modules. And the modules are the things that are going to actually have the individual, say, dig services in it, and the shell is going to be the place where they all are visualized. So let's create this. And in this case, I'm going to create an ASP.NET web project because we're going to show the application in a website, and we're going to also have modules that are downloaded from the website. So I'll hit OK here. And we have our basic page and our basic page showing up soon. So you'll see we have the shell project, and so there's some things in here that we don't need right away, so I'm going to get rid of page.xaml, and I'm going to add the actual shell itself, which will be a user control. So this will be the top level window, if you will. I'll call it shell. Now we need to connect this application to Prism, and the way we typically do this is with something called the Bootstrapper. And the Bootstrapper handles initializing a lot of the components that are required by Prism, and sets the and connects your shell to Prism. So I'm going to call it Bootstrapper, and the Bootstrapper will inherit from what we call the Unity Bootstrapper. And first, to get this actually to work, I have to add references to the Prism libraries. And so I've pre-compiled these from the source, and I'm going to add in all the Prism composite, composite presentation, composite Unity extensions, service location, and Unity libraries. Seems like a lot, but a lot of these are broken out so that you can consume this in individual pieces without having to take all of them if you don't want to. So I'll add this in, and now I should be able to resolve the Unity Bootstrapper. And the two things that are important for the Unity Bootstrapper to provide, one of them is required is the shell. And in this case, I'm going to return the new shell that we have. And the other one is we want to provide something called a catalog, git module catalog. And this is basically the list, if you will, of modules that are going to be loaded. So we just need a module catalog, which is kind of the default root catalog that Prism offers. There are other choices, which we'll talk about in future webcasts. All right, so this is our Unity Bootstrapper. Unity Bootstrapper is connected to the Unity dependency injection system, and that's why it's called the Unity Bootstrapper. While Prism is agnostic to all of these all of these different dependency injection containers. It never references them directly. We do have out of the box a bootstrapper that allows it to connect to the Unity container specifically, since we are in fact PNP. That's probably not unexpected, but you can also connect it to your favorite dependency injection container by writing your own bootstrapper for that, following the pattern of what the Unity bootstrapper does. So the other thing we have to do here is it's not sufficient just to return the shell for Silverlight applications. For Silverlight applications, we have to set the root visual, which is the starting control for a Silverlight application. So instead of doing this, I'm going to set my shell equal new shell, and I'm going to do application.current.rootvisual equals shell, and then I will return my shell.
So now the other thing we need to do is connect the bootstrapper to the application. To do this, I will go to the abs.mlcs, and you'll see that here it was setting the root visual to the page, and we want to set the root visual, we set the root visual in our bootstrapper, so in this case we'll just create our bootstrapper and tell it to run. And now this will connect our application to Prism via this bootstrapper. All right, so now we have everything in place to load the shell in Prism and to look for a catalog, although we have nothing in our catalog. So the next bit we're going to do is add a new module, the dig module, into the catalog. And everyone's going to walk us through that.
Now I'm going to walk you through creating a module. So we're going to create the dig module. And a module in Prism is usually just an assembly with one class in it that contains the module information. So I'm going to add the dig module now. Call it dig. It's just an assembly, and we can get rid of the class one. We have to add Prism references so we can actually use the Prism functionality in the module. And now what I have to do is add the module class that I mentioned. Let's call this dig module. Now in order for Prism to be able to use this module, I have to derive it from iModule. Reference to it. Okay. Now this interface only has one method, the initialize method, and it will be executed whenever the module gets loaded for the first time. And this would be the place where you can register stuff with the GI container or show initial views or do other initialization for this module. But we're going to show that in a later webcast. So for now, I'm just going to remove this exception. Now that I've created the module, I still need to add it to the catalog. As you remember, we created the catalog in the bootstrapper, but this is just an empty catalog. So there are several ways of adding the module to the catalog. One would be to add it to this catalog directly. So that's what I'm going to do now. And there are several methods for this. There's an add module, or you can also add groups of module with similar properties. But if I do add module here, you can see this has several overloads. And one of them, for instance, is you can add a module by giving its fully qualified, assembly qualified name. But an easier and straightforward method is to add a reference to the project, the dig project, and just use type of. So now, because now the shell directly references the dig module, it's not a very decoupled way of loading up your modules, but it's a very easy way to get started. Other mechanisms might also be to create a different type of catalog, for instance, a directory lookup catalog, which would load all the modules that are located within a single folder. So the last thing I have to do is return the catalog. So, return catalog. And now, if I run this application, it should load the dig module. So if I put a breakpoint here, and if I start the app, you will see that it hits the breakpoint here. So now we've created a module and added it to Prism so that it, to the bootstrapper so that it loads it up. As you can tell, the shell is still completely empty, and we haven't actually added any views, but we're going to do that in the next webcast. The next webcast is going to address visual composition, so that's where we're going to add views and make sure that they are shown in the view. And in the last webcast, we're going to talk about different communication approaches to be able to communicate between modules in a decoupled mechanism. Well, I hope you like this webcast, and well, goodbye.